The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander playing hurt today, Kelly.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, I'm blowing my nose. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, it's cold out here in Vegas, all right?
Oh,
it's freezing.
Caught a bug. It's like, what, 50-something?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Gonna be tough.
That was like in the 40s when I drove in.
We get tweets beating the book. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Happy New Year. Thanks for reading my tweets for 2025. Manny Davison and myself are Sharp Money Survivor alumni. Thanks for keeping me company in my home office every day. Thanks for having us in your home office every day. Money Gun Guz. Let's go, Money Gun. Going to be a wild circa millions finish for everyone in the top 20. Hope to snag a top five finish. And it'll be crazy if I can win the average Joe contest where I sit tied for third. Let's end strong. Money Gun Guz, who tweets us all the time. Top 10 right now in circa millions. I think he's top 10. Trying to get into the top five.
Fezzik still around?
Fezzik. I was just about to bring that up. Fezzik is, I think, 14th.
Wow.
I believe.
Fezzik, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I think something like that. So, anyway. Kelly, so that I can go blow my nose.
Yeah, man.
Your thoughts on the NBA MVP odd movement before we get to your NBA picks?
Yeah, let's circle back to MVP. And I'm going to bring up current odds, too, because I bet this has shifted. We heard today that Nikola Jokic will be out for at least the next 4 weeks. They are calling it a hyperextension of the knee. So, nothing bad ACL, I guess. I guess there is still more we can hear here. But for a guy who's played as many games as he has, to hear that type of injury, not good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is down to minus 450 after that news came out during the show just about 30 minutes ago. Luka Doncic plus 370. Cade Cunningham 50-1. Jalen Brunson 60-1. Wembanyama 60-1. Jalen Brown 100-1 is what your current odds look like. Did started going through this last night. Games missed. Luka's missed 7 games already. Nikola Jokic is going to be out of this month. He's gone. Wembanyama's missed 11. Giannis has missed 14. Anthony Edwards has already missed 7. It is wild when we talk about, like, we knew this was already going to be coming down to 2 or maybe 3 guys to begin with. Giannis missed games early. He kind of took himself out of the race. Luka racked up a few games missed. He's right on that borderline there. Look, it's really sad to say that we're not even into the next year. We're not even into 2026 yet. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, as Drew said earlier, if you could get to minus 240, it's probably going to be one of the better bets you're going to be able to make this NBA season. At minus 450, I don't know that there's many people that are going to run out to make that play. I did want to bring up, I knew that question was going to come of, okay, what if Shai gets hurt? Right. And this becomes a wide open race because all these guys at the top that we expect to be there are just too injured and miss too many games. Drew said the three names that I would be considering too. I think Jalen Brunson and Cade Cunningham is where you need to start. I know there's been a lot of excitement about Jalen Brown and what he's doing in Boston. I hear you. He would be on my shorter list as well. Where these teams end up in the East, though, I think is where I would try to be isolating on. Jalen Brunson, if he is able to lead the Knicks to a 1 seed, let's say he's top 5 scoring in the NBA. I think that's a pretty good case to have. Cade Cunningham, if he gets close to kind of averaging near those triple-double numbers like we've seen, and the Pistons are a top 3 team in the East, yeah, I think there's a case to be made there. And then the Boston Celtics, I do think it's impressive what they've done as a team this season than what Jaylen Brown's been able to do without Jason Tatum out there and really help and really lead the way for Boston offensively, scoring near 30 points per game. I think he's 3rd right now in the NBA in scoring, having his best year.
If you see Nikola Jokic up, by the way, at plus 450 or at any price, please don't bet it.
Yes.
They're just taking your money at this point.
They really are. And yeah. Good on, like, I'm looking, I just pulled up DraftKings to see their updated odds. He's not even listed. So good on them for not even listing him.
Not to interrupt you.
Yeah, you're fine.
But can we go back to something we touched on with Drew? Because I didn't get a chance to follow it up with Drew, but I will with you, which is, so I follow our buddy Carl Sack.
Yeah.
Drew was just talking about how his handicapping was great till about Christmas, then it's fallen off a cliff. That effort, he's questioning some effort of some of these teams. Carl Sack, who I follow, was killing it, right, the 2 or 3 weeks prior to Christmas week. And he too, right, since then has had a very, can I say this for Carl? A very strange, and Carl doesn't usually have a week where it goes bad in a week, right? Now, there were some bad beats in there earlier, right, leading up to it. But, like, some of them have been, to Drew's point, suspect in terms of what you see on the court.
Yeah.
And Drew's theory was, yeah, maybe it's just sort of them checking out for the holidays also. Is there anything to this? In other words, did you remember this last year?
Oh, I think there's always something to that. That around the holiday season, you need to be careful. That there is, look, you get staggered games too, right? Drew often brings up how he bets, a lot of rest and fatigue factor stuff. I mean, everybody plays on, mostly everybody plays on Christmas, right? And you get a lot of days where there's just zero games and there's a lot of games. So it doesn't really allow you to take advantage of some of the rest situations as much. I think that's something to have in mind every year. And I think it applies to other sports too, but the NBA right around this time is something where I always keep in mind.
Because I say that during Major League Baseball, most people say leading into the All-Star game. I actually, in my handicapping through the years, thought it was after the All-Star game.
I think it's a little bit before and after.
Yeah. I thought after my numbers became squirrely. I don't remember this being this bad in the NBA, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not really chalking it up to that though. Like, look, yeah. I've been on a bad run the past couple weeks too. Like this, you guys did not miss me. If you were betting NBA last week, it was real bad. I'm just pulling up some of the losses I've had here, and it was ugly. The tip of the cap of the Spurs. I thought the Thunder were in a couple great spots last week against them. Spurs took care of business in both of those games. It's been bad. I think what's crazy, I was saying this during a break. I don't know if this makes you feel better or worse as a better, but when I see, like, Carl and I were talking back and forth, we were texting back and forth last week about one of those Thunder games. Like, we both loved it. And it was like, you know, and then you start, you're seeing people you respect on seeing the same side, betting the same, you know, same side that you are. It enforces your thoughts even more, you know?
Well, the Thunder one, that gets back to my NBA playoff theory though, which is in the NBA playoffs, I feel like not having followed the NBA season as closely as you guys sometimes helps, right? Because you guys are super into it, but I feel like the NBA is played so differently with rotations and just it's almost beneficial sometimes to come into it clean. I felt that way with that Thunder play against the Spurs, where I remember my thought after the NBA Cup semis was, I don't know, I trusted the Spurs more on offense every time down the court. And I said last week on air, I was like, but you and Drew kind of looked at me askance, so I didn't bet it. And then the second time it happened, I didn't bet it. And then when they went up in the third quarter in that, because I didn't bet that sack play on the Thunder, I was like, I do not like this play. Fezzik was like, it's sack. You got to play it. Right. I'm like, I'm not playing this. And when they went up in the first quarter, I made two Spurs bets. Spurs to win the title. Spurs to meet the Celtics in the championship. Because I just, at that point, that to me related more to the too close to the sun thing. But the rest of the stuff, I think it's interesting how off the handicapping has been for the NBA experts this time of year. And it can't be coincidence that it's everybody.
Yeah. And it's just, I guess it makes me feel a little better because it's the, not a little better of like, hey, okay, this is my bet. Now I'm going to load up more because one of these guys are on. But what after it loses, it's like, all right, at least they saw the same. They saw the same thing or something similar that I saw. Right?
Like I said, that was the only day I felt. That was the only day I felt smarter regular season wise than the NBA experts. Sure. Right.
And look, I mean, let's continue that conversation. What's part of the fallout of Nikola Jokic? This Denver Nuggets team. Without Nikola Jokic, they're already down Aaron Gordon, already down Christian Brown. They are down multiple pieces here, and you're relying on Jamal Murray.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Well, I jumped the gun. Think you know sports? Get paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, that's BETR, pick more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your picks hit, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app, that's BETR.APP, and download Better today. Use promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets beating the book. Big Kahuna says to me, 100% agree regarding the NBA, and the losses don't make any sense. Losses by 20-plus points. I don't remember it ever being this bad. I don't either, Big Kahuna. Sweet Lou Monaco, love all the hosts and shows. Happy New Year to all of you. To you too, Sweet Lou. Bobby Geddes, I'm behind today, so I'm sure you've already discussed this, but finally, my weekly efforts to make Drake May MVP have manifested. After everyone said Stafford was locked, all it takes is one crazy weekend. Let's get this 100-1 ticket home. Sorry, though, Kelly, he says, in parentheses.
It's okay.
And Brian M.
Check got bets to root for.
Checking my notes, he says, water does not freeze at 50 degrees. our complaints have fallen on deaf ears, is what he's saying.
People got so sick of me.
That's great. Right. Let's do some NFL power rings. Hit it.
I don't think we have it.
No, we don't have
it. Yeah, we're just going to go right to it.
Yeah, we'll go right.
We got some tech issues. Okay, I got to teach you the TV like visual things. You know, we're like we're going to break and stuff. We got to do the like I'm handing you an important piece of script, like script to read or something
please,
like that.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We'll do that with the next open rules.
I don't even look at the rundown script. All right, the NFL power rankings for the remaining teams in the playoff picture. So, in other words, I'd probably have the Lions like 13th in mind, something like that. But we're not doing that. We're just doing the 16 teams that are either clinched or still eligible to make the postseason from the bottom up, Kelly.
I would have the Lions higher than that, even. They would be top 10 for sure for me.
They were teetering top 10 for me last week.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 16, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I got them as the worst of the bunch. 15, Steelers. Hey, we're back. Look. 14, Panthers. 13, Ravens. So those four teams fighting for a playoff spot, they're my bottom four. Now, Denver Broncos fans are going to hate me. 12, Broncos. Again, the Broncos about to be the number one seed with a win or a Patriots loss. The Denver Broncos are my 12th. And I'll just go through the Broncos schedule for those who are like, how can you have the Broncos 12th, man? What is your problem? Well, again, the Denver Broncos, who are 13-3, and again, by any measure, what a season, except for the fact that this measure doesn't leave me, which is the only two really solid teams they've beaten, only three teams with winning records, Houston, Green Bay, and Philly, okay? But they have beaten Tennessee by 8, the Jets by 2, the Giants by 1, the Raiders by 3, the Chiefs by 3, the Skins by 1, the Raiders by 7, and the Chiefs by 7. So that's just a bit of a Houdini act. You're 12 for me, the Denver Broncos. The Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that was the, we had that great tweet Warren Sharp put out yesterday too, just of the quarterbacks. It's not only just the teams, the quarterbacks, those weeks for those teams that they've played. Really soft.
Here it is from Warren Sharp, and they'll get Trey Lance this week against the Chargers. Last week it was Oladokun. You've also seen some Kenny Pickett, some Marcus Mariota, some Geno Smith, some Davis Mills, some Justin Fields, some Jackson Dart, some Jake Browning, and some Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not great. But look, they've won, right? They figured out a way. It's just that you're asking me to rank them. I got them 12. Now I got the Bears at 11. Bears fans, again, you can hate all you want. But your turnover differential, once again, is out of control, including the fact that you have won 6 games this year when trailing in the final 2 minutes. It was almost 7. It was almost 7 if the Bears had pulled it off against the Niners this past Sunday night. It was not to be, though. It rained 7. But again, the turnover differential, it's not quite the 1983 Washington Redskins plus 43, but the turnover differential this year for the Chicago Bears is, Kelly, plus 22. Plus 22.
Yeah, that's good.
You've recovered 10 fumbles by the opposing team you have only given up 4 fumbles. Plus 22. So you're my 11. Packers are 10. They will get Jordan Love back for the postseason. But they're 10. The Bills have the one-man wrecking crew of Josh Allen, but I can't make you any higher than 9 because I just don't know where the talent is. What's the strength besides the just amazing dynamic player that is Josh Allen?
That's it, man. I can't sit here and argue back with you. No. I have him 9th too. We have him in the exact same spot.
8 Eagles. Great performance this past week at Buffalo. Capable of beating any team, especially at home games and weather. I just haven't seen the consistency this year. Can you flip the switch? Maybe you can. Patriots are only 7 because of the schedule. They've only beaten one team with a winning record. Is that true? One team with a winning record. That's it. That's the list. And yeah, you lost to the Raiders. Otherwise, you crush everybody. I get it. 6, Jaguars. You've won 7 games in a row. You've beaten a couple good teams along the way. I can't make you any lower than 6. I just can't at this point. 7 wins in a row. Chargers fall to 5. A lot of injuries with the Chargers. They get beat by the Texans. But really in that game against the Texans, what happened was they spotted the Texans 14 points very quickly. And that was very odd for that Chargers defense. They still almost pulled it off. Texans are 4, though, because maybe they have the best unit of any unit in the NFL. They're number 4. Mm-hmm. Niners are 3. Seahawks are 2. Rams remain 1. I still believe, even after this stretch of games, including last night's loss to the Falcons, I still feel like the Rams are the best, let's put it this way, the most complete team in the NFL. Do I think they are flawed? Yes. I think every team is flawed this year. I think the Rams have the fewest flaws of the bunch.
This was really interesting to see what there are 2 teams that we have wildly different.
Ooh.
Otherwise fairly similar. All right, I'll start at the top, actually. Seahawks, Rams, I flipped after last night. I did have Rams 1, Seahawks 2. I think I've made it pretty clear, though, for a long time now. Those are the top 2 teams to me. Let's see. Rams having troubles at the moment. Davante Adams will come back at some point, though. So long term, I'm not very worried about them being very, very good. 49ers up to 3 for me. That's where we're at. I'm right there with you, Gil. And look, my love for the NFC continues. The next question for me was, when does the first AFC team land? I'll still go back to this Packers team. I still think the roster's good enough that they are just better than most of these teams that we've seen on the AFC side. I hear you with what you say with the Texans and the defense. I have them at 5. I had similar thoughts, though. That's why they are my top AFC team. Still think they have the best singular unit, probably of all these teams that we were looking at, like you said, maybe in the entire NFL, but in the AFC for sure. Patriots 6 for me. I get it. I still think Drake May has been really good. I get the soft schedule. I think he's been awesome. I think the rest of the team will be tested once we get in the playoffs. I think the team I could be sleeping on the most here is the Jaguars. They've looked, like you said it, man, they've looked impressive over this winning streak, and it's not been complete scrubs that they've played. I think Lawrence has been pretty consistently good throughout this stretch. I'm really excited to see what that team looks like in the playoffs. I don't know, man. I think they could make quite a run. Eagles 8 for me. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I think you had them in the exact same spot, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Less of a shock. You said this. Less of a shock if they can flip the switch than like a Bills team.
Yep.
For the Eagles, I'm with you there, and I think that's probably the difference between the Eagles and Bills. Eagles, though, like you got no excuses, man. This has been troublesome the entire season. The fact that they've gotten as many wins as they have has been amazing. But like the playoffs are here, your roster's loaded. Step up. You should be able to beat a lot of these teams that you're going to run into. You should be one of the best teams in the NFC, and I've got you 5th in that conference. Bills 9. You put it perfectly, Gil. You know I love Josh Allen. It's Josh Allen, and what else? He's getting no help. You got Cook. He's been great. Sure, running game and the offensive line you've been able to lean on. Broncos, I put 10. Bears, 11. I have the Chargers, 12, man. So
Packers and Chargers.
Packers and Chargers are the 2 big. Yeah. You're low on the Packers, I'm low on the Chargers, and vice versa. Then I'm high on the Packers, you're high on the Chargers. That defense has been great. I think I need to see a little bit more out of this offense. And look, I understand there's been a lot of injuries. That's kind of where I'm not jumping. jumping all over them one way or the other yet, just because I know that offensive line has been constantly banged up here the past month or so. So, look, they've got the talent. We'll see what they can do in the playoffs. Ravens 13 for me. I thought this was funny how we sorted out the bottom four that we brought up yesterday that kind of triggered this exercise. Ravens 13. I'm going to go Bucks 14. Still believe in the potential talent there. And then Steelers. Panthers absolutely dead last one.
DVOA. Lions 3rd. Colts 4th.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So they 10, God,
that's
12,
how good
40.
The Colts were early in the season, though.
Patriots 15th. Bears 16th. Chargers 17th. Panthers well into the 20s.
Oof.
Coming back on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start the new year off as a better with the VSiN Pro subscriptions. Final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now. Get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. Including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll receive our college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert brackets, see Mackinnon's power ratings, CFP and bowl best bets, and previews for every bowl game. Start the new year with an edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Let me repeat again what I was just saying from DVOA, because I think that's, I think again, as a gauge, it's one thing for Kelly and I to our top 16 teams that have already clinched or on their, you know, are still eligible for the NFL postseason. By the way, if we were to throw in teams, we're talking off air, if we were allowed to play teams that,
yeah, if we just power rank our true 16,
that's right, who would be in the top 16? I said Detroit, Atlanta, and Minnesota would make it still.
I would have Detroit, Kansas City, and Dallas, at least.
Okay. DVOA, again, they have Detroit 3rd. Aaron Schatz will join us next week, hopefully. He has Detroit 3rd. And again, that's what happens. If you already have them ranked high and you lose a game where you hold the opposing quarterback to 56 yards passing and you commit 6 turnovers, you still stay high. You were saying PFF, Pro Football Focus, has the Lions top 5 both offense and defense still.
And special teams.
And special
teams.
They're
3rd overall.
DVOA also has the Colts still at 4. Okay, what do we do with that? The Colts are still 4.
I mean, it's pulling off a lot of early season data.
Yeah, but why are we doing that? Yeah, it's not weighted DVOA, which is more recent, but full season data, the Colts are 4. And then, as I said, the Baltimore Ravens are 14th, the New England Patriots are 15th, the Bears are 16th, the Chargers are 17th, the Bucks are 20th, and the Panthers are 24th of the remaining teams that can still make the postseason. His worst team is Vegas, Las Vegas. His second worst is the Jets. And I would imagine part of the reason that Vegas gets the nod over the Jets is, and by the way, let me just say this about the Jets. The Jets have lost 4 straight games of 23 points or more, yeah, as their deficit. First time that's happened since 1972. 4 straight losses by 23 points or more.
An overall point differential, the worst 4-game stretch in franchise history.
But the real reason that the Raiders are worse, because you know what, the Jets, again, this quirk that we've brought up a few times, the Jets have not picked off a pass all year. This is incredible. This is incredible. One more game, the Jets will have pulled off the most miraculous thing ever, gone an entire season without an interception. The previous record of consecutive games without an interception was 14 by the Niners, I believe, last year. The previous record from the beginning of the season was 11 games. They have gone 16 games without a pick.
Well, it was wild, too. Remember on the other side of the ball? Justin Fields didn't throw one for like the first 6-7 weeks or something.
And if you're asking how many turnovers have they induced, period, it's 4 the entire 4 year. It's incredible. So it's like these things are not supposed to be sustainable in either direction. And yet with the Jets, they are. And also in DVOA, they have one of the top 5 special teams of the history of DVOA since 1978. Anyway, real quick before we get to Pete, here's your Circus Survivor 6 update. Just the graphic, because we didn't get to show this earlier. These are the remaining 6 players. These are the teams they have available. The green check marks are just who we think they will end up choosing from as their pick. See, Gary A10's got New England. Real Bro 3 has Jacksonville. They're the only ones with those plays, so I think they are going to be locked into those picks. If you're Real Bro 3 with Jacksonville, you got to be feeling really good right now. What could go wrong?
Yeah, it's the Jags. They've never let anybody down.
Pete Futak joins us now to talk some college football with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Futak, F-I-U-T-A-K. He is the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. Pete, happy new year, my friend.
Merry new year to you. Yeah, so real quick, what you're talking about with, you know, you're talking about like 16 teams, you know, in the NFL. Remember when we're talking college football playoff and, oh my God, expansion. Oh, it's going to ruin the sport and stuff like this. You still have the lowest percentage of teams available for the college football playoff. Like half the teams make it in the NFL. If you're going to count the play-in, it's something insane, like 68%
right.
of the NBA gets in the playoffs and half the NHL, half the NBA. Like it's crazy how just about everyone gets in this thing and all the pro sports and no one says anything about it. And NCAA tournaments, like 39% of the teams get in.
That's right.
College football playoffs, still only about 12% of the teams get into this thing. So it's still, for all the crying, oh my God, expansion's going to ruin the sport, still don't have a lot of teams compared to most other sports in this.
You're right. And even, like you said, even March Madness, right? 68 teams out of 300 and whatever is still a higher percentage than when college football gets into their playoffs. Real quick, before we get to the quarterfinals, because I want you to remind everybody what your thoughts are. Any play in any of these three bowl games today? Anything from you on these?
Yeah, I don't love them last week. Like last week, I nailed it, actually. 5-0. I told you before, Army was the easiest pick of the bowl season. Loved Minnesota. And of course, San Diego State was, that was easy. Yeesh, that, God, that was all tire. But like, they don't love them as much. I kind of like the over. Louisiana Tech and Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina cannot stop the run at all. Louisiana Tech, all it does is run. That's probably going to be an over on that, even though I've been awful at point totals this bowl season. That I like, and I like the over on Illinois-Tennessee. I think just both teams are going to just grip it and rip it and just fire away on each other all game long. Don't really want anything to do with the USC game. No one's playing in that for the Trojans, but they could still win. So don't like that one really at all.
USC TCU, I believe our buddy Dr. Bob has a lean, not an official play, but a lean on the over in that one as well. The third of the three games today. By the way, the Coastal Carolina Louisiana Tech game, the Independence Bowl, kicks off in a little less than 90 minutes. Trio, a triple header of bowl games here. Remember, there's three today. There is five, including the first of the quarterfinals tomorrow. There are the three remaining quarterfinals then on New Year's Day. And then after that, there's only four more bowls besides, of course.
Yeah, real quick, by the way, tomorrow's the one I like. Tomorrow I like Utah. Nebraska, they're going to give it the college try. They don't have anybody in the backfield. If you're one of those players who likes early, Utah is going to struggle early. Nebraska is going to be great for about 20 minutes. And then the avalanche is going to come and Utah is going to make a statement. They're sick of the Kyle Whittingham stuff. Apparently they want to prove that, okay, we're going to get the Morgan Scally stuff off. They have Devin Dampier back. They have their backfield. Again, you're going to sweat it a little bit, but Utah, if whether it's 14 or 14 and a half, I like it either way.
Okay. And as for the quarterfinals, which begins New Year's Eve tomorrow night with the Canes and the Buckeyes, remind everybody, let's do these one by one. Where do you stand on the first of the four tomorrow night?
I do like Ohio State, but even though it's gotten rocketed up to 9.5, I like them to win. I don't like them to cover. That's just way too much to ask. But remember, like even when Ohio State lost to Indiana, the defense still worked. I like the under in this game. I just don't think there are going to be a lot of points in this. And nine, if you're going to like the under in it, then 9.5 is just way too many. I don't think they're going to shut the Hurricanes down to a dead stop. And I do think that Miami pass rush is going to be a bother. But I also believe that this is when Ohio State kicks into fourth gear and they actually start to get the offense going. So kind of nothing crazy. I'll be shocked if it's a firefight. So I like Miami with the points, Ohio State to win it, and the under.
Miami with the points, Ohio State to win it, and the under, total at 41. All right, to the most closely lined of the games of the quarterfinals, Texas Tech and Oregon. A lot of Texas Tech love from the experts. Are you with that?
Yeah, I want nothing to do with this one. I'm taking Texas Tech. I'm a believer in all this, that the SEC isn't very good. The Big Ten's really good. And I think Texas Tech's the walk-in. We just don't know. I mean, Texas Tech's just, all they've done is beat other good Big 12 teams. Now we're going to get to see what they can do. I'm not buying into Baron Morton in the offense quite as much, but that defense is the real deal. Oregon, they struggled against everyone who was any good this year, even though they only lost one game. I'm very, very, very sheepishly going Texas Tech to win this.
Okay. Let's go to Indiana and Alabama. The Rose Bowl looks like it's going to be rain. for the Hoosiers, 6.5-point favorites hosting, or not hosting, but 6.5-point favorites against Alabama in Pasadena.
The problem is it's Alabama. And, like, you can never go wrong no matter what, whether it's Saban or DeBoer or whatever. It's still Alabama. They still have as much NFL talent as anybody left in this tournament. Indiana, I think, is going to pull this off. I've liked kind of Alabama the whole way through because 6.5 seems like a lot. But I don't think Alabama's all that good. I don't think the SEC is all that great. So I think this is where Indiana, the defense rises up. I think they struggle a little bit out of the gate. I think the moment does become a little bit big for them for a little while, and Alabama plays great. But I then think Indiana then starts to pull away late. Alabama a little too cocky right now. I'm going Indiana.
Alabama a little too cocky. Georgia, 6.5-point favorites versus Ole Miss at the Sugar Bowl. 55.5 is the total.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing this because it seems easy. Because Ole Miss exercised its demon. The Lane Kiffin Bowl was before. They said, okay, we're going to blow out Tulane. We're going to show you the peak golden era is going to be great. That was no problem. Now I think it all comes to breakfast. And I don't think Georgia scores a ton until late, but the defense is going to rise up and rock. They got embarrassed last year in their first game in the college football playoff. I think they show up large. This, I think, is the easiest one of the bunch. I'm going Georgia with the points.
Who's winning it all, Pete?
I'm going to say Ohio State. I'm going to still stay with it, but I think it's all Big Ten the rest of the way, except for maybe that Texas Tech win over Oregon, but that's, you know, very, very closely, and I would not be shocked if we have 3 Big Ten teams in the Final Four.
Okay. Pete, Happy New Year. Enjoy the games.
Happy New Year to you guys, too.
Coming back, we'll recap all the bets next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports get paid for with Better Picks. That's BETR, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better Pick More or Less on your favorite player stats. And if your picks hit, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Play NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Go to better.app, that's BETR.app, or download Better today. Use promo code VSIN for your free $10 and deposit bonus. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Johnny Brock, was Pete Futak in Eastbound and Down? We were waiting for a tweet like that?
I've been waiting for that. Larry brought that up a week ago, that he kind of looks like one of the actors from Eastbound and Down. We've obviously heard Everybody Loves Raymond. We've heard that one a lot.
Yes. Oh, he's totally Raymond. Yeah. Ray Romano, for sure.
But it was a good call. I thought it was a good call by Larry last week when he brought it up. And yeah, good call, Johnny Brock.
We're going to do what they say can't be done. Money down bets. I missed guessing lines this week, but Bucks -2.5 or money line feels like great value bet to me in this spot. Bucks have completely collapsed, but to me, this feels like the ultimate buy low at home. I still don't respect the Panthers, I guess. I guess 2.5 on Monday, by the way, on this. I bet the Panthers +3 when Kelly gave it to me at 3.
I got no idea. I want to agree with everything you just tweeted, but I got no idea with these teams. I've been waiting for the Bucks to turn this around for weeks now, and I've been trying to figure out Bryce Young and Carolina Panthers for 2 years now.
Mark Hansen, a reminder for you and Kelly regarding the Lions. Ben Johnson isn't walking back in that door. Well, you don't have to remind us of that. You should remind the analytics sites about that. They got him at 3.
Yeah.
Brosec 1870. I know it goes with baseball, whiskey, and a revolver. What's he referring to over there? He's responding to somebody else. I'm sorry. Oh, he's responding.
Is that a Nick Bogdanovich line?
Yes. Whiskey and a revolver is a Nick Bogdanovich line.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Schizo 360. Pats beat the Bucks early in the season when they were on fire. Baker was an MVP candidate. They no longer have a winning record, but they did when the Pats beat him. Now, if you'll excuse me, going to go ahead and get ready to cash my Drake May 30-1 MVP ticket. Good on you, Schizo. Except Kelly's not saying good on you because he's got a Stafford ticket. But McBrentley. Here's my thinking, Gil. Vrabel, slight edge on coach of the year, but what's cooked into that is he's beating Miami Sunday. If the Niners beat Seattle, lock up home field, that would flip. That's my simple thought. Yes. I said yesterday, I think if the Niners get the number one seed, if they beat the Seahawks and get the number one seed, how do you overlook? And I know the parameters of past coach of the year winners don't lead you to Kyle Shanahan, but how can you overlook the player injuries to the significant type of player injuries, again, from Warner to Bosa to Purdy to Pearsall to Kittle to Ayuk not even being there. It's just incredible what the Niners have been able to do.
I'm a believer too, Gil. Like, whether this is right or wrong, I'm a believer in the one seed stuff mattering. Like, it's a good tiebreaker for me. A lot of these guys, we get to the end of the year, a lot of these guys, no matter what award we're talking about, a lot of times have pretty comparable stats.
Well, think about
it. And it's team success, and especially if you're a coach or a quarterback, like, that matters what you've done that season.
For a coach to overcome the Rams and the Seahawks in your division, the Eagles, the Packers, the Bears, and the Lions in the North, I mean, come on.
I mean, I think it's going to be very fascinating where, like, I think these MVP odds have swung too much, mainly because what if the Patriots don't get the one seed? Like, that's still very possible. And I think Coach of the Year and MVP are way more open than if that's the case.
Broncos are playing a Chargers team that has Trey Lance as their starting quarterback this week. All the Broncos have to do is win. And again, the Patriots lose the tiebreaker based on common opponents, specifically their loss to the Vegas Raiders week one. This is some serious news, though. Speaking of the Patriots, ESPN and others reporting that Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs is facing a felony charge of strangulation and a misdemeanor charge of assault from an alleged incident on December the 2nd. The Patriots said in a statement that they are aware of the accusations and that Diggs categorically denies the allegations. Now, by the way, the article at ESPN goes on to say that while we just read that Diggs categorically denies the allegations, the article goes on to say that Diggs' defense team said it's working on a monetary resolution to the incident, according to the Globe. Diggs, 32 years old, leads the Patriots this year with 82 catches for 970 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's having a great year. If there is, a motion took place, by the way, 11 a.m. today, Eastern time in Dedham, Mass. But right now, according to the Boston Globe, arraignment, did I just make up that I saw this somewhere? But arraignment is scheduled for the week before the championship game, the AFC championship game, which again, one of the factors that might lead to defense attorneys saying a monetary resolution is being sought here. But those are obviously serious, serious charges against Stephon Diggs. So there you go. Add that to the mix. That's obviously a developing story. Let's recap all the bets. No real artful transition from that, but I'm on the Panthers +3 at the Buccaneers. By the way, I did add, I forgot to mention this to Danny. I did add the Falcons. The Falcons is a week 18 play. Remember, I couldn't believe that they were less than 3-point favorites against the Saints. Of course, stupidly, I didn't pull the trigger on that during guessing lines. And so then had to wait for the Falcons to crush at football yesterday. So,
It's like 3 everywhere now, right?
It's at 3 everywhere. So I'm on the Falcons, -3 in there, but here I added Bijan Robinson, offensive player of the year at 150-1. That's the big thing I did yesterday. Just because, again, we did the blind resume earlier. Will he absolutely win it? Who knows? But do I feel like he's got a shot that is does not at all reflect those odds? Yeah, I do. I don't think he's anywhere close to that number.
We can talk about, you know, the win. What do the wins matter? The odds being good and all this. Michael Modestano did text us the most important thing. 255 scrimmage yards. If he gets that, he breaks the all-time record.
Yep.
Sure. Yeah, you guys are real live. That's the case.
And that's. I mean, we are voting on something that's happening this year. I know McCaffrey might end up being the first player to ever have 2 seasons of 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving. But that's a historical thing. That's not about this season. And by the way, if he gets those yards, let's say he gets 150 rushing yards, he will have 1,600 rushing yards, talking about Bijan now, on the season. There's only been 60 individual NFL seasons where that's happened. 1,600. I mean, what are we talking about here? Here are my college football plays for the quarters. I am on Miami. Got the worst of that at +8.5. Thought it was going to go the other way. I am on Texas Tech. I am on the Hoosiers. Got him at 6.5, not at the current 7. And I am on Georgia. I also have Indiana to win the college football playoff at 10-1. Can't wait. By the way, I'm so pumped that we are at week 18. I'm ready for the playoffs of the NFL. I'm ready for the quarterfinals. You, sir.
Yeah, me too. There's also, man, does week 18 in the NFL just always hit different, Gil. You know, it's just what a negative feeling always. Really, I think even we do guessing lines yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how many guesses were you like right on for? You're like, hey.
Yeah.
Like now that you know teams are like done, you're like, I don't even want to watch this, much less like think about having money involved in certain games, yeah. Right? Yeah, just different. I'm with you. Let's go playoffs. All right, NBA tonight, talked about these a little while ago. Celtics laying 7.5 since December 1st. Boston 8-3, second best net rating, best offense in the NBA. Keontae George questionable for the Jazz tonight. That is big. I think he is one of the candidates for most improved player this season. Also on the Pistons laying 3 going in to play the Lakers tonight. Reminder, no Austin Reeves. He has been out. Not a good loss the other night by the Pistons against the Crosstown Clippers, but they have been in LA now here for a couple days. So not a huge worry about the travel situation or anything right now. 8-4 over their last 12, 8.5 net rating for the Detroit Pistons. I almost said the Lions because we've talked about them so much today. So Celtics laying 7.5, Pistons laying 3, and I might be joining Drew on the Grizzlies at some point. Thought the Sixers would take money. They are taking money here this morning, so no rush on this one. But Grizzlies, I like them around a pick. I'm going to catch them about a point and a half everywhere now. I think that's a pretty good play.
Falcons minus 3, minus 110 against the Saints is where I got that one. Which game is Stormy doing in the quarterfinals this weekend? Let's give Stormy a shout.
I don't know.
Of the three, she's doing the Orange Bowl. That's right. Thank she's doing the Orange Bowl. So good on her. She did the, I remember she did the quarterfinal game last year as well, if I'm not mistaken. So good on her. She has that going on. So we wish her the best. I think she's still on Money Moves today though, right? Yes.
Man, you think I know a lot of things.
I'm asking Kelly questions that are better served for off air, and I'm sitting here asking them on air. By the way,
I mean, I'd assume she's doing Money Moves until she has to leave Florida to do that game. So I don't know.
J-Con Hockey, he's got the Devils tonight at the Leafs. He's got Jackson Blake, 1+ point at even money for Carolina. He's got Sean Couturier over 1.5 shots on goal, +115 for the Flyers. Matty Cox on Cal, +9 versus Louisville in college hoops tonight as well. Drew Dinsick on the Pistons, minus the points at the Lakers, -2.5 in the Grizzlies money line tonight. And also in the NFL, Panthers +3 against the Bucks. We're simpatico on that. Seahawks -1 at the Niners. Rams -7.5 versus the Cardinals, even though the Rams might not have anything to play for. I missed the last one, guys. And Jeff Erickson is on the Bears, -2.5. Drew is Oppo Jeff with the Lions, +2.5 at the Bears.
I'm trying to pull up the wine. I missed it, Gil.
Prop points is next. Enjoy.